Adriana Rodenzel is NAIA National Athlete of the Week. Brooks Kissinger gets a triple-double in an overtime loss. And wrestling goes 3-0 in the second GPAC Day of Duels. Hello and welcome to Season 3, Episode 18 of Talkin' Dogs. I'm Kai Ulbrich here with Aaron Spivey. Aaron, how's it going today?
I'm doing great, Kai. I actually got some news, man.
What's the news?
Your boy got casted in a play in Seward here, bro.
Hey, there you go.
Regardless of my injury, I got casted.
Multi-talented athlete, say, musician.
Yeah.
Does one act have music in it, or is it just the play?
Just the plays.
Okay. I think a Shakespearean something.
Yeah, do that. Let's do that. But besides me at the moment, we got a lot to talk about, so let's dive on in, man.
Yes, we do. This show is not about us. It is about, well, sometimes it's about us.
Yep.
But most of the time, let's be real, most of the time this week, it's been about Adriana Rodenzel this week and the last couple weeks. That's the biggest story of the week. Let's just jump right into that.
Go ahead.
Okay. So, we've been talking about Adriana a lot over the last couple weeks. She keeps breaking her own school records. I swear, every week, there's a new school record broken. She usually works pretty incrementally. Yes. Like, she'll take a couple tenths or a couple hundredths off here and there. Very consistently improving. But then this week at the Lincoln meet, she just went off. So, another one of those D1 meets.
Yep.
A lot of D1, D2, and top NAIA competition. And she goes for over 2/10 of a second PR. She ran an 8.26.
Goodness.
In the 60-meter hurdles. Just to tell you all the different things that is. Number one, it's a PR.
Yes.
Number two, it's a school record.
And obviously, don't forget that it's an NAIA standard.
Yes,
obviously,
yes.
I mean, like, for those who may, she's automatically going. I mean, she was already going, but she just keeps improving her standings every single time.
Yes.
So you're just like, what else can she do?
Yeah, so currently it's the number one time in the country for NAIA, and it is the fourth fastest 60-meter hurdle time in NAIA history.
Get out of here.
In history. Oh, however long the NAIA has been around, that's the fourth fastest time ever run.
Wow.
And we're not even to conference yet.
Conference is literally next week.
Yeah. She still has two more meets.
She might get a break. She might get like a day off if she wants to, but I'm pretty sure she's not, because she might want to help her teammates get a standard to go to nationals as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Just looking at the team overall, the women's side is currently ranked 19th in the country in the recent coaches poll or the national rankings. But we've also had some other very impressive athletes. Let's talk a little bit about Addison McCarter.
When not, bro? I'm very impressed with her as a teammate and seeing her.
Yeah, fellow triple jumper.
Improve as well, too. She is insane, man. Like, she is very insane. Now, let me do this.
You got this one.
As a fellow triple jumper. Addison McCarter did not only get GPAC, obviously, Athlete of the Week. She got three times. That's a sweep. Like, we've seen her get the Athlete of the Week almost every single week at the same time. Her name has been mentioned. And not only did she do as well, at the Lincoln meet as well, too, she got second place and PR'd with 39 feet, 1 inch. So you already know that that's now, she's close to getting 40 feet, which I feel like maybe this year or next outdoor season, she will get 40 feet. And I'm not being biased. I just see the potential right there going forward in her career as an athlete.
Yeah, I mean, you'd see her every day in practice, I'm assuming, seeing her progression.
Well, I used to now, but I mean, I see her from afar as standby her actually after retiring, you know?
Yes, for sure. And then, also to mention about Adriana, of course, she is National Athlete of the Week, but also, of course, GPAC Athlete of the Week. She's gotten multiple, Concordia Athlete of the Week awards, so just to make sure we give her all of the flowers she deserves.
Exactly. We have to, especially for Addison McCarter and obviously everyone that is competing for the Bulldogs in track and field. Coming up, obviously, on Valentine's Day, though, they will be performing or competing at their last home meet this week here in Concordia. And then next week is GPAC conference week.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and just to shout out a couple impressive performances from the Doan meet this weekend. Again, it was a little bit of a divide and conquer weekend. A lot of our top athletes not many of them, but some of those, like Adriana, Addison, some of the very top, went to the UNL meet. Everyone else was at the Doan meet, yep. And we got a lot of good performances. In the mile, we had a Concordia showdown. We had Justin Sherman and Keith Syke in a first-place battle. Less than half a second separated the two coming across the line, coming into the last 200, and finished within 0.3 seconds. Justin ended up out-kicking Keith by just a little bit to finish the mile in 4:34.28. And Keith came in just behind him with a 4:34.55. Very similar in the 5K. Two different athletes, Trey Robertson and Ransom Watts. They were both within a second of each other through the whole race. Robertson ended up getting the win. He was ahead most of the race and finished that way. But Robertson got the win in 15:39.66 and Ransom 15:40.31. So less than 1 second in the 5K.
Now that's a dogfight in my opinion.
Yeah, 100%. The women's 5K was very similar, a bit more of separation between the two,
right?
But still went 1 and 2 in that. Allison Stepanek got the first place with 19:49.90, and Annika Staub got second place with 19:57.14. And then we've been talking about, you know, Addison and that triple jump, but we got a high jump champion as well. Freshman McKenna Starkey jumped 5'5.25". Also a B standard for nationals.
Hey, good stuff.
So very exciting to see her on there. Junior Marissa Hines got 2 first places. So she got her first one in the shot put. She threw it 42 feet 8 inches and followed that up with a 52 feet 7.5 inch weight throw. So very cool from them. Cooper Shellkopf got 2nd in the 800. Jessup Peterson got 2nd in the 600. Jax Jacobson got 2nd in the pole vault, and Cooper Stokebrand, 2nd in the shot put, with a 47:11.25.
Okay.
And you mentioned we got the Concordia Invitational coming up that last meet before GPAC. Men's team is currently ranked number 25 in the country, so just inside that top 25, and we're really excited to see what both of these teams can do, both at the Concordia meet, and then also especially at GPAC and Nationals.
Now, before we go on, I got to give all the shouts to the seniors here for this last meet coming up, for potentially their last meet, because some of them might not make conference. Now, it's been a fun time, obviously, competing with everybody there, as well as me, you know, retired now as much. It's hard to say that, though. It's hard to say I'm retired, even though I didn't want to be retired, though.
Medically retired.
I don't like saying that as much with it, but it was a fun time competing with them as well, too, and they all feel the same. You know, we are a small senior class, but it was a fun time, and we all have that role models as well from the others who competed. So for those who maybe their last meet, give it all you got. No holding back. Give it everything you got, because that is the best feeling in the world, to compete one last time in this indoor season at home until outdoor season. So go ahead.
100%. I think that is some great advice. But moving on, we have got some men's basketball, and it is a bit of a sore subject, only because of the outcome. We lost against Morningside. It was an incredible game.
Yes, indeed.
So definitely not a boring outing from our guys, but unfortunately we did get the loss in double overtime against Morningside, who are the number one team in the GPAC right now. Score was 123-115. So, you know, very close all throughout. It was 50-49 at halftime in favor of Morningside. Then we outscored them 43-42 in the second half to take it to overtime. It was really close at the end of regulation. So we went up with 30 seconds left. They tied it with 14 seconds left. So we scored a layup with 30 seconds left. They got a layup with 14 left. No score after that in regulation. In the first period of overtime, we were up by 3, and we fouled Morningside on a 3-pointer. They made all 3 free throws to send it to double overtime, and then with about 2 minutes left in double overtime, Morningside ran away with it. Just to talk about the outstanding performance of the day, we had Brooks Kissinger with the triple-double, 33 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. Brooks was 1 for 2 for 3-pointers, 9 for 17 from the field, and 14 for 19 for free throws. So he was getting hacked down all over the place, getting to the rim, very dangerous, dishing out assists, getting rebounds, getting a lot of points. Just to look into a little bit of the history behind Concordia men's basketball triple-doubles. The last one was Gage Smith in 2022, so pretty recent, you know, pretty within recent. The last 4 years. The next one before that was Ben Limbach, who you Concordia Bulldog aficionados might know as the current head coach of the Concordia men's basketball team. He had the one before that back in 1998.
So you're telling me it's been 24 years from that one, from 1998 to 2022, and then we finally get another one 4 years later?
Yes, there have been three triple-doubles in the last 28 years.
You're making the triple-doubles sound like it's like an urban legend here at Concordia.
I mean, it is. I mean, you got in college, it's shorter games. You know, NBA, you know, Westbrook gets one every game, Jokic gets one every game, but they got eight more minutes to do it.
Yeah, true.
They've got, you know, elite shooters all around to get those assists, 'cause I feel like that's usually the hardest one to get is those assists. A lot more shots being taken, a lot more time to do it. So college triple-doubles, very, very rare. So very cool to see him get that. Despite the loss, it'll definitely be a little bit of a silver lining for him. Another top performer for us, we had Dane Jacobson get 25 points. He put some mileage on his legs in this one. 48 minutes.
Wow.
I think that's all but two.
Yeah.
Brooks was 43, so he was getting a lot of time as well. Zach Kulis got 41. Zach got 9 points, but Dane with 25 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. Zach Kulis, he didn't do quite as well on the scoring front in this game, just 9 points, but 7 assists, 3 rebounds, 3 steals, so he was doing really well on the distribution and did pretty well on defense as well. Looks like he fouled out towards the end. And then Tate Odvody, he came off the bench, 24 minutes, 17 points. We had Jacob Dutzman, 29 minutes off the bench, 11 points. So overall, some pretty good production from our guys. We shot really well in this game, 48.8% from three, 53% from the field, struggled from free throws with 66%. But honestly, both teams were shooting well in this one. It wasn't like we just got lucky against them and were shooting well.
No, I agree on that one. I mean, you look at the stats, man. I mean, both teams played great.
Yeah, Morningside was shooting 41% from three. They took more two-point shots than we did. They were 59% from the field, 86% from free throws.
Goodness.
So definitely something that our guys can work on is getting those free throw numbers up, because that was probably the difference in this game. Rebound numbers, pretty similar. We had 33, they had 36. Assists, we had 28, they had 25. Steals, they had a couple more than us, but blocks were one apiece. So just a really good, even game of basketball.
Yes.
I'm sure the guys are disappointed to come out on the losing end of it, but we've shown that we can compete with the top team in the conference.
Yes, I agree. I love their fight, their spirit that they gave in this game, even though it went through double overtime and they lost. But you got to give credit when credit's due. You're going against the number one team in the GPAC, and that shows it right there. I mean, it shows it, but they fought with honor for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. But moving on to the women's side of things, they had two games this week, a win against Morningside and a win against the College of St. Mary. To start off on that Morningside win, 84-62.
Okay.
Very good split in the scoring category. So we had Sammy Liu lead the scoring with 18 points. She was 6-for-9 overall, 4-for-6 from 3, 2-for-2 from the free throw line. Bree Bunting got 14 points. Ayla Roth got 13. Kristen Wieselmeyer got 11. Raylan Kelty with 8. We had 26 steals as a team. So getting a lot of extra possessions on that. Bree Bunting had 7 of those. Those seven steals definitely played a part in her winning GPAC Defensive Player of the Week. So congratulations to her for that.
Congratulations.
Yes, despite the big win, though, you know, 22 points, we got out-rebounded really bad. Morningside had 56 rebounds. We had 35.
And we beat them 84-62?
Yes, and we still beat them by a lot. And we emptied the bench towards the end.
Fair enough.
Not even towards the end. We emptied the bench. You know, we got a lot of girls. We had 5 girls off the bench get 10-plus minutes. So we got all 15 players on the roster into the game. All but four of the girls who played scored some points, so definitely good to get a lot of players on the court. It wasn't particularly close. It was, I guess, a bit tight after the first quarter. It was 20-17, but then we outscore them by 6 in the second quarter, and then we outscore them by 21 in the third, and then they outscored us by a bit in the fourth quarter, but we'd thrown our whole bench into the game at that point.
Right.
No starters in, so that's fine.
Yes, that's I'll let that slide.
You don't mind that too much.
No, you
don't. And of course, when you most of the girls off the bench are probably used to coming into more of a rotation.
Yep.
When you just throw them all on at the same time, I know Coach Olson has a plan. He's not just throwing players out there.
I mean, he has 500 wins and counting.
Yeah, but you get some different combinations of girls who might not be used to playing with each other.
Right.
So just some systematic things might not be as clean as you'd like them to be, but it doesn't really matter when you're up by 20 or 30 points.
Yep. Now, moving on to, obviously, the College of St. Mary's game.
Yeah, this was a bit of a blowout, to say the least. It started off pretty interesting, though. So, very slow start. We scored 11 points in the first 8 minutes of the game. Score was super tight. And then the last 2 minutes of the first quarter, we scored 10.
Okay.
To put ourselves up 21-6. Second quarter, we go 20-4. So halftime is 41-10. So we almost held them to single digits.
Okay.
In the first half. Then we go 22-14 in the third quarter and 25-18 in the fourth quarter. Again, able to get a lot of girls into the game. All 15 got time. Again, really big with the steals with 20. We out rebounded them, which is something we're not quite used to. 42-38, we out rebounded them. 17 of those being offensive rebounds. Libby Hoffman led the scoring off the bench with 16 points, 6-for-10 from the field, 4-for-7 from three. Sammy Liu and Kristen Wieselmeyer each had 12 points. So good to share the love on the scoring front a little bit. We had Gabrielle Wagner getting 9, Abby Kromarek and Juliana Jones getting 7 off the bench, Raylan Kelty getting 6, Bree Bunting having 7. So a really solid overall performance. Again, it was a little bit close in the first couple minutes, but after that, just ran away with it, never really looked back.
Right.
But that is pretty much all for what has happened this week in the basketball world. But this weekend, I guess tomorrow, we're recording this on the 13th, so happy Valentine's Day to our Bulldog basketball players. As we send you off, we ship you off to Sioux City, Iowa to play Briarcliff University. The women are going to play at 2 p.m., and then the men are going to be in action at 3:45.
All right. On Valentine's Day, why not? Let's spread the love with the ball. Why not?
Absolutely. But moving on from the men's and women's basketball, we've already touched on track and field. We've got some cheer and dance action. We haven't shown them much love so far this year, but yours truly was running the PA for the, I guess, competition last Saturday. It was a lot of fun to watch.
How was your voice?
It was good. I think so. Levi said it was good. Towards the end, I got more into it. So that was kind of fun announcing because, you know, all the parents are super rowdy. So it was like, and welcome to the court, your Concordia Bulldogs. So it was pretty fun.
All right. So explain more about what happened during that competition when you were PAing.
Yes. So there were about 10 teams for the cheer and dance competition. And we had some very good performances. Our cheer team had their best performance of the season. They scored a 77, which is 10 points higher than their next highest result from the season.
Okay.
You know, going to be honest, I don't know how they break down the scoring. I don't know how they judge it. It's a very subjective thing. I'm not an expert on cheer and dance, but I know that a 77 is pretty good because it got 100. Third. And then the headline act of the, I guess, morning/afternoon event was the dance team up against some very strong competition. National champions Midland. So 2025 national champs Midland,
right,
were competing against us, and we beat them.
Whoa.
With a score of 93.33, Midland was in the 92s, so we beat them by just about 1 point. Program record for points.
Right.
And beating the defending national champs.
Okay.
And let's just say, it was very loud after I announced that.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised because you beat the 2025 national champs at home in front of a home crowd with that big of a score right there. I mean, who else wouldn't lose their minds?
Yeah, absolutely. I got some quotes from the coach and some of the dancers, but the coach, Mandy Maester, said, just, we're really, really excited, very proud of the girls. She gave a lot of credit to the home atmosphere, having a lot of friends and family, alumni, a bunch of people in the stands cheering for the girls to do their best. They deserve it more than anybody. They worked really, really hard and had a good performance. Senior Taylor Larson said, I'm feeling over the moon. It's like a culmination of 4 years of just wanting it so bad. So it's just crazy. Like, Midland's the reigning national champ, so I think we have a really good shot at GPAC. I'm really excited. So it was a very fun atmosphere and good energy there. So definitely fun to have a tiny little part to play in that.
Should have recorded it.
It's on the Bulldog Twitter.
Yeah, but it's better if you were to record it and brought the audio with us here. I mean, I'm just saying.
I can't record it while I'm doing the PA.
Yes, you can.
I've got a job to do.
Yeah, and the job was to give content, and you did, and you could have had it. But moving on.
Moving on. So, congrats to the dance and cheer team. But we have some wrestling action. And honestly, we'd be here kind of all day if we talked about everyone who beat everyone in the wrestling, because we kind of killed all the competition. So it was the GPAC Day of Duels.
Yep, you kept mentioning it in a couple of podcasts about the Day of Duels. So yes, let's get started.
So the Day of Duels is a day when we have three different duel competitions for our number 16 nationally ranked wrestling team. And we went up against Northwestern College, Morningside, and Dakota Wesleyan. Mm. We beat Northwestern 42-5, Morningside 35-6, and then Dakota Wesleyan 32-16 to finish off our dual season with a record of 8-1. Our only loss being to Doan, who are a top 15 team nationally. So I think they're 11th right now. So only a couple spots higher than us, but still a very solid program. Coming up, their next thing is GPAC, and this is not dual format. This is normal tournament style. So it's an individual and a team event. Yep. So this is how you qualify individually for nationals, and then we'll also have team scoring involved in this. And then nationals are coming up.
This is insane. This is insane right now.
So they've been having a very, like, a low key, really good season, and they've set themselves up really well to do well at GPAC and nationals. And I guess just to shout out some of the people who got some pretty good results. In the first match against Northwestern, all of our big guys were getting pins. We had five athletes in a row get either a tech fall, a pin, or a forfeit. So I guess the forfeit's not that exciting. But we had Jeremiah Vasquez get a pin in the heavyweight match. We had Torrance Keehan get the pin in the 197. We had Barrett Brandt with the pin at 184. We had Evan Sapanlu get a forfeit win, and then we had Cannon Carey win by tech fall 20-4 in his match. So just domination by our big guys in that one. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you look at the other scores, very dominant in those as well. We didn't actually get any pins against Morningside, but we had a lot of tech falls. We had Gabe Lujan, we had Bryce Carlin, and then we also had Gabe Kant with those 15-plus, and Hagen Highstand, all winning by 15-plus points. And then Dakota Wesleyan was, I guess, the tighter one of the events. We had a couple pins in this one. We had Gabe Lujan. He's been really solid this week and throughout the whole season. And then Barrett Brandt getting that one. And then Roman Arredondo got a forfeit win.
Wow, good stuff. A lot of names. A lot of names.
Yes,
man.
A lot of names. And keeping up with the lots of names, we're just like halfway through this thing. We got a lot of sports to talk about. We had baseball. And we won't be going too in-depth on this just because there are so many games from baseball and softball. We had the baseball team had four games last weekend in Oklahoma. They went 3-1 throughout the weekend. Oklahoma City University, we beat 8-6 in the first game and then 6-3 in the last game. Beat Bellevue University, who are number 22 in the country. Beat them 5-2 in the second game of the four, and then we lost 2-5 in the third game. So we played Oklahoma City first and last, Bellevue twice in the middle. We're currently ranked 16th in the country. So a very, very nice preseason ranking. We had Sam Bespoyasny, my bad. He was GPAC Pitcher of the Week. So congrats to him.
Indeed.
And then we had, just to shout out a pretty solid performer, we had Bronx Lewis get 6 RBIs throughout the weekend. So the senior got to show him some love. So well done from him this week. And then we've got the softball team. Also, decent start to the year. They went 3-3 in their first weekend. They played all different competition. So they won their first game 8-0 against Nelson University. Won 13-2 against Mid-America Christian University. Then lost 6-7 against Oklahoma Wesleyan University. Beat Bethel College 8-4. Then we lost to Oklahoma City University 9-0 in 5 innings. And then we lost to the University of British Columbia 5-1.
Man.
So, yeah.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
A lot of things going on. I guess we can shout out some of the good performers. We had freshman Marybeth Hart get 2 RBIs in their opening win. We had Lacey Joseph get 3 hits and 2 RBIs in the win over Bethel College. We had Kiera Ferritor get 2 RBIs in that win over Nelson. So just, you know, got to shout out a couple players who did well.
You got to do it.
Yeah. When it gets to a bit more of a reasonable schedule, we can break down game by game, but we would be here all day if we broke down six softball and 4 baseball games. We'd be here all day. And I've got class in 30 minutes. Exactly. So
respectfully, don't have that much time, but we are still shouting out the wins, the highs, and the lows of each of the games that they have played.
Yes, for sure. And then I think we are almost towards the end of this episode as we talk about the tennis teams.
Ooh, I love me some tennis.
And they've had some pretty solid results this week. We'll start with the men. They had their first game of the spring season on February 7th here at home in the Walls Field House, and that was a 6-1 win over Sterling College, and we won the doubles competition. We had Hugo Fuentes and Daniel Caballeros. They won their doubles match 6-1. We had Ben Chisholm and Nick Velders win 6-0. Then we had Leo Lopez and Joseph Meltzer win by forfeit. So we got all 3 wins in that to get the 1 doubles point. And the way scoring works in tennis, in college tennis, is you have the doubles competition, which is 3 doubles matches. So, you know, 6 athletes from each team.
Right.
And then whoever wins 2 of those matches gets 1 team point. And then you go to 6 singles matches, and each of those are worth 1 point. Oh. So 7 total points.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so we had everyone but our 1 win their match. We had, our number 6 won by forfeit. But then we had Michael Bedrosian win at the 5. We had Ben Chisholm win at the 4. Daniel Caballeros win at the 3. And Nick Velders win at the 2. So 5 wins out of that. Hugo Fuentes lost his match in a really close one in the number 1 competition. So that gives him the 6-1 overall, very solid performance. Then we had another one against Pratt Community College, ended up winning that one 5-2. We won the doubles again. We had Leo Lopez and Santiago Abadia win theirs. Then we had Ben Chisholm and Nick Velders win 1 as well. Then for the singles competition, we had Leo Lopez win his match. We had Santi Abadia win his match. We had Michael Bedrosian win his match. And then Onion Gadjic win by forfeit in his. So that gives you the 5-2. Overall solid performances. Looking on the women's side, we had some more good performances.
Lay it down.
We had a 6-1 win against Sterling College, just like the men did.
Yep.
And then a 3-4 win against Pratt Community College. So a bit closer of a match, but still getting that win against Sterling College. We ended up winning the doubles. We had Alana Lopez and Mariana Milano win theirs. We had Alexa Richard and Shakira Derman, and then Lauren Gottberg and JC Powell win theirs via forfeit. And then, just like the men's, only Sterling's won. Like their top person beat our top person. But then at our two spot, we had Shakira Derman win. We had Alana Lopez win hers. Shane Derman, Alexa Richard, and Nina Milich all win theirs. Looking at Pratt Community College, we actually lost the doubles point, but we had Nina Milich and Shakira Derman win theirs, but then our other two double spots lost, so Pratt got the doubles point. But then at our one, Mariana Milano got the win. We lost at the two. We had Alana Lopez win at the three. Shane Derman win at the four. We lost at the five, and then Nina Milich took it home at the six.
Goodness, man.
To get that 4-3 win. So a very exciting series of events. Looking forward, we have games on February 21st at Ottawa University for the women's team. So looking forward to that. And then on the men's side, we have a game tomorrow in Fremont against Bethany College, and then a game at home against Nebraska Wesleyan University on the 16th.
A lot is going down. A lot is going down.
And then just thinking, I forgot to shout out the coming up schedules of baseball and softball.
Yep.
We've got games tomorrow in Lincoln against the University of St. Mary. And then on the 15th, we've got games against Benedictine College in Atchison, Kansas. On the baseball side, we have, of course, a lot of games. We have I've never seen this before. You know, there's a lot of double headers. Sometimes you'll have the quadruple headers. We have, how would you even say this? A sextuple header?
What is that?
Six games over the span of a week against Clark University.
Goodness, man.
That's strange. So
just go with it.
Yeah, so four of them are this weekend in Lincoln. So two tomorrow, two on Sunday. And then we're going to go to Missouri, play them two more times on the 21st, and then play Central Methodist University the next day.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, imagine playing the same team six times in a row.
I mean, it's a good thing, but it can get tiring, though. But
yeah, well, I think I'd get bored. But I guess that's fun. Yeah, there's a lot of quadruple headers on the schedule, but I've never seen a sextuple header. Didn't even know they did those.
I didn't know either.
But, yeah, I think we made it through everything. We talked about tennis, softball, baseball, wrestling, cheer and dance, track and field, men's basketball, women's basketball.
A lot to cover. A lot of covering. And you did great on that part.
Thank you. If we missed anything, please leave a comment on Spotify. Let us know. Give us some leads, because we'd love to talk about more. But I think for now, that's all the content we have time for today. So, thank you so much for tuning in and listening to Season 3, Episode 18 of Talkin' Dogs. Be sure to follow us at cunesower.com/podcast and give us a follow and a 5-star rating on Spotify.
Yes.
But for now, from Kyle Ulbrich, Aaron Spivey, and everyone else at the CUNE Sower newspaper, have a good day and go Dogs!